Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from Radiotimes.com. Question number one. Which 1980s group featuring Phil Collins reunited in 2020? Was that A, Herman's Hermits? Was it B, R.E.M.? Was it C, The Police? Or was it D, Genesis? Phil Collins, what was that band anyway? And question number two, Nights in White Satin was a 1967 hit for which band? Was that A, The Beatles? B, The Rolling Stones? C, The Moody Blues? Or D, The Zombies? Which band released Nights in White Satin? Anyway, the answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from OnThisDay.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January 23rd. Well, as you may remember, it was on this very day back in 1858 that Mendelssohn's Wedding March was presented for the first time as the daughter of Queen Victoria married the Crown Prince of Prussia. Mendelssohn's Wedding March, today, back in 1858. And it was 63 years ago today, 1962, that Brian Epstein signed with the Beatles as their manager and began to direct their image away from leather jackets. He led them towards a smarter stage presentation with matching suits and bows to the audience. The new Beatles look, 1962. Today. Lieutenant Kesey introduces our classical music news. It's entitled, Lately We've Heard. Prokofiev, Scythian Suite, and Lieutenant Kesey. Claudio Abbado, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Deutsche Grammophon 2025. This is reviewed by Vince Tolano, WCPE 89.7 FM, Quarter Notes, Winter 2025-2026. Deutsche Grammophon's recent release of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's recordings of these two Sergei Prokofiev compositions is innovative in its engineering and old school in its delivery. For Deutsche Grammophon's original source series, the vinyl, they've gone back to basics using the original 1-inch 8-track tapes with the original analog source to mix and cut this new vinyl release. And when I say vinyl, I mean vinyl. The recording is delivered on 180 grams of solid vinyl like I haven't heard in decades. This is a serious record. It's virtually unbendable, with a heft that feels like a record that ought to sound good. And the music delivers on this promise. The audio separation is not only distinct, you can hear a clarity of inner voices that wasn't present even on the original vinyl release. There are orchestral effects at several points in the recordings that I've never heard so distinctly. They made such an impression that I went back to my score and wondered, wow, how did I miss that? Compared to the CD release, you'll hear a less homogenized sound without the seemingly manipulated orchestral balances. The brass section, crucial to the performance of both of these works, is pure gold. The brass is recorded with a clarity and brilliance that remind me of hearing them live at Carnegie Hall 50 years ago. In 1977, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra was at the top of its game. Claudio Abbado expertly manages the resources at his disposal to deliver performances to rival any other. This was my first opportunity to hear the original source series from Deutsche Grammophon. If the rest of the series is produced as well as this release, this product is as good as new vinyl gets. And in Music Research and Technology, we have this article titled, Music Makes Everything Better. A Texas Doctor Spins Vinyl to Give Patients Relief. This is published in NPR.org by Olivia Aldridge, December 22nd, 2025. Austin, Texas. Lying in her bed at Del Sutton Medical Center at the University of Texas at Austin, 64-year-old Pamela Mansfield sways her feet to the rhythm of George Jones' She Thinks I Still Care. Mansfield is still recovering much of her mobility after a recent neck surgery, but she finds a way to move to the music floating from a record player that was wheeled into her room. Seems to be the worst part is the stillness in my ankles and also the stiffness there and the no feeling in my hands, she says, but music makes everything better. The record player is courtesy of the ATX Vinyl Program, a project dreamed up by Dr. Tyler Jorgensen to bring music to the bedside of patients dealing with difficult diagnoses and treatment. He collaborates with a team of volunteers who wheel the player on a cart to patients' rooms along with a selection of records in their favorite genres. I think of this record player as a time machine, he said. You know, something starts spinning, an old familiar song on a record player, and now you're back at home. You're out of the hospital. You're with your family. You're with your loved ones. Mansfield wanted to hear country music, Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, George Jones. That genre reminds her of listening to records with her parents, who helped form her taste in music. Almost as soon as the first record spins, she starts cracking jokes. I have great taste in music. Men, on the other hand, I think my picker's broken, she says. Other patients ask for jazz, R&B, or holiday records. The man who gave Jorgensen the idea for ATX Vinyl loved classic rock. That was around 3 years ago when Jorgensen, a longtime emergency medicine physician, began a fellowship in palliative care, a specialty aimed at improving quality of life for people with serious conditions, including terminal illnesses. Shortly after he began the fellowship, he says he struggled to connect with a particular patient. I couldn't draw this man out, and I felt like he was really struggling and suffering, Jorgensen said. He had the idea to try playing the patient some music. He went with The Boys Are Back in Town by the 1970s Irish rock group Thin Lizzy, and saw an immediate change in the patient. Just struck me that all of this time I've been practicing medicine, there's such a powerful tool that is almost universal to the human experience, which is music, and I've never tapped into it. There's just something inherently warm about the friction of a record. The pops, the scratches, he said. It sort of resonates through the wooden record player, and it just feels different. Since then, he's built up a collection of 60 records and counting at the hospital. The most requested album by a landslide is Fleetwood Mac's Rumours from 1977. Willie is also popular, along with Etta James and John Denver. And around the holidays, A Charlie Brown Christmas gets a lot of spins. These days, it's often a volunteer who rolls the record player from room to room after consulting nursing staff about patients and family members who are struggling and could use a visit. Daniela Vargas, the UT Austin pre-med undergraduate who heads up the volunteer cohort, became passionate about music therapy years ago when she and her sister began playing violin for isolated patients during the COVID-19 pandemic. She said she sees similar benefits when she curates a collection of records for a patient today. We are usually not in the room for the entire time, so it's a more intimate experience for the patient or family. But being able to interact with the patient in the beginning and at the end can be really transformative, Vargas said. Often, the palliative care patients visited by ATX Vinyl are near the end of life. Jorgensen feels that the record player provides an interruption of the heaviness those patients and their families are experiencing. Suddenly, it's possible to create a new, positive, shared experience at a profoundly difficult time. Other patients, like Pamela Mansfield, are working painstakingly towards recovery. She has had 6 neck injuries, surgeries since April, when she had a serious fall. But on the day she listened to the George Jones album, she had a small victory to celebrate. She stood up for 3 minutes, a record since her most recent surgery. With the record spinning, she couldn't help but think about the victory she's still pursuing. It's motivating, she said. Me and my broom could dance really well to some of this stuff.
Doom, gloom, and misery. That's what you get to me.
Yellows in My Own Time introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled, 1975 was the year of orchestral rock. In 1975, orchestral rock reached its majestic peak, where symphonic ambition met rock power in a series of landmark albums. This is written by Steve Wright on the 18th of December, 2025, in BBC Music Magazine. In the annals of rock history, certain years stand out as cultural and artistic high points. For orchestral rock, the ambitious genre that marries the bombast and rebellion of rock with the sophistication of classical music, 1975 was its high water mark. Orchestral rock's origins stretch back to the late 1960s with bands like the Moody Blues, Days of Future Past, and Procol Harum's A Whiter Shade of Pale, both in 1967, who first dared to drape rock's electric guitars and pounding drums with strings and choirs. But those early efforts often used classical instrumentation as ornamentation, an add-on to elevate rock songs rather than reshape them. By the early 1970s, the genre began to evolve, with artists such as Yes, Genesis, and King Crimson exploring complex structures, thematic albums, and extended compositions. Orchestral elements were no longer just sweeteners, they were structural. By 1975, this creative journey had reached a summit. Artists, including ELO, Queen, Pink Floyd, and Elton John, were no longer dabbling in orchestral textures. They were composing rock symphonies. Yellow in my own time.
Capital city skyline photo. Skyscrapers shine the sun so. Low in the sky. The secretaries at the hot dog vendors. Cabs honk at the bicycle messengers.
And in local music news from this capital city, we've got this from PBS North Carolina. Come Here, and that's spelled H-E-A-R, North Carolina presents Shaped by Sound. Preview, Season 2. Season 2 premieres Thursday, February 5th, 2026 at 10:30 p.m. Watch Shaped by Sound on PBS, a PBS North Carolina original production. Shaped by Sound spotlights North Carolina's thriving music scene, featuring artists from a broad range of genres, including indie rock, hip-hop, R&B, alt-country, jazz, bluegrass, and folk. Each episode weaves a visually stunning live studio performance by an NC artist or band with an intimate conversation about their creative journey. Made possible through support from Come Here, North Carolina, a program of the North Carolina Arts Council with the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. Watch Season 2 of Shaped by Sound, premiering Thursday, February 5th, 10:30 p.m. on PBS North Carolina, the PBS app, or on YouTube. Find additional airtimes across PBS North Carolina and the North Carolina channel on our TV schedules page. Featured artists have or will include Ben Folds, The Connells, Charlie Lowry, Jim Lauderdale, Hiss, Golden Mass Messenger, Faith and Harmony, Iron and Wine, Superchunk, Alice Gerard, Nina Freelon, Mipso, Blue-Footed Boobies, Fancy Gap, Reuben Vincent, and many, many more. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which 1980s group featuring Phil Collins reunited in 2020? Was that A, Herman's Hermits, B, REM, C, The Police, or D, Genesis? Correct answer? Answer D, Genesis. As noted in Britannica, Philip David Charles Collins is an English singer, drummer, songwriter, record producer, and actor. He was the drummer and later became the lead singer of the rock band Genesis and had a successful solo career, achieving 3 UK number one singles and 7 US number one singles as a solo artist in the 1970s, during which the band also included singer Peter Gabriel and guitarist Steve Hackett. Genesis was known for being a pioneer of progressive rock. On 23 January 2020, Collins was spotted with former band members at a basketball game in New York City's Madison Square Garden, sparking rumors about a possible Genesis reunion. On 4 March, the trio planned for 17 dates across the UK and Ireland for a tour between November and December of that year, with Collins' son, Nick, on drums. The tour was rescheduled twice due to the subsequent COVID-19 pandemic and lockdown, firstly from April 2021 and then from September 2021. Collins asserted that the tour would be his last with Genesis due to his health issues and said there were no plans for the band to record new music, but added, never say never. A North American leg was later added for November 2021, following the UK leg. The tour was supported with the release of a greatest hits set, The Last Domino, The Hits. And the answer to our question number 2, Nights in White Satin was a 1967 hit for which band? Was it A, the Beatles, B, the Rolling Stones, C, the Moody Blues, or D, the Zombies? Correct answer? Answer C, the Moody Blues. As noted in a 2023 article written by Rob Hughes in loudersound.com, titled, It's the Audience That Brings Something Magical to That Song, The Story of Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Dumped by a girlfriend, Justin Hayward remembered a gift she had given him and started writing a song that became a multi-million-selling, era-defining classic and earned him not a penny. It's been a hit 3 times over, sold millions around the globe, appeared on film soundtracks, and inspired more than 60 cover versions. There's even been a theme park ride in South Carolina named after it. Yet half a century after he wrote it, Justin Hayward still struggles to explain the enduring appeal of the Moody Blues' most famous song, Nights in White Satin. There's a strange power to that song. It gave us a style that suddenly seemed to work for us. I think I'd identified the Moody sound. First released in November 1967, Nights in White Satin was a masterpiece that bridged pop and symphonic prog with a lyric ripped directly from Hayward's personal life. It finds him caught between ecstasy and despair, rueing the end of one love affair while embarking on another. Searching for some kind of metaphor for his emotional turmoil, Hayward remembered a recent gift he'd been given. A former girlfriend had given me some white satin sheets. They were very romantic-looking, but totally impractical. When Hayward took the bones of the song into rehearsal the next day, his bandmates seemed less than enthusiastic, at least to begin with. Then Mike said, play it again. So I did the first line, and he went on Mellotron. And that's the phrase that started to get everybody else interested. Suddenly the others could see what parts they might play on it. Shaped by producer Tony Clark and arranger-conductor Peter Knight, Nights in White Satin became a sumptuous epic in the studio. It formed the centerpiece of the Moody's second album, Days of Future Past, a dawn to darkness song cycle that made full use of the Mellotron's ability to simulate a orchestra. It marked the band's transition from R&B also-rans to torch pop trailblazer as a junction in time when psychedelia was splintering off into exciting new directions. The album's credits include the London Festival Orchestra, but everything orchestral you hear on our recordings is Mellotron. As the Moody's reputation grew, so did that of their most iconic song, Nights in White Satin, was reissued in 1972, making the top 10 at home and reaching number 2 on the U.S. Billboard chart. The song continues to enjoy a prolonged afterlife. Hayward and the Moody Blues still tour, drawing from an illustrious back catalog spanning decades. But Nights in White Satin occupies a special place in that set list. There's still so much emotion when we play it, says Hayward. It doesn't matter how well we do it in sound check, if the audience that brings something magical to that song, the atmosphere in the room is suddenly different. There's a feeling to it that's quite electric. So, let's close out today's program with that Moody Blues song, performing their orchestral rock tune, Nights in White Satin.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.